Pray for me. Didn't really think I would be breaking the word. Let the Lord give me a burden. And the Lord give me a message. And the Lord led by His Spirit. And that song that was sang, let us go back to our father's praying ground. I've been around the church all my life, seen a lot of things come and go. But there's one thing that never changes and will never be changed. And that is that in our assembly, we need and must have the Holy Spirit. Now we can make all kinds of changes and all kinds of decisions, but we need the Holy Spirit. Since the time I was a child and used to come down to this altar, the services were led, they were blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that moved upon my heart as a child to love the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit that moved upon me to be willing to break from what old Stevie Joe wanted and decide to serve the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that we need in our midst. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have a chance. We're too handicapped, folks. We're too handicapped. You want me to read some scriptures to make my point? Bear with me. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 14, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I have heard these scriptures, read these scriptures all of my life. But I'll tell you this evening that these scriptures have proven true over and over and over and over again. And the things that they have produced in people's lives because they were right in their own eyes. And they would not accept counsel. They would not accept the counsel of God. I can do it my way. I can handle it. I have a brain. God expects me to use my brain. God, give me the wisdom. Come, let us reason together. There's some reasoning here I must do. But because you are carnal, you're at a disadvantage. There is a carnal part of our natural man that wants to be right all the time. And we want to have our way because we think it's right. And we get a lot of education up here. And we get a lot of understanding up here. But what we need is the provision that God has provided, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And His job is to minister that knowledge to our heart in a way that we can understand, in a way that we'll be able to interpret rightly, that we'll be able to receive just counsel. There are a lot of counselors, but they're not all right. Said, try the Spirit and see whether they're of the Lord. I've witnessed it down through my years. There's people that will tell you things, but it's not right. Your counsel you need to get, and then you need to take it before Jehovah God. Go into the closet, Jesus said, and shut the door and ask him, and he will tell you. This is the confidence that we need to have at the end of this whole world. This is a confidence that we must understand, is that this is God's church. This is God's way. This is God's world. And without his Spirit leading us and guiding us and showing us, we'll be just like everyone else that has ever been, that are led away in their own thinking and their own thoughts. You cannot trust your own judgment. You must have the judgment of God. And the only way to understand that judgment is through the office of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. And I have some scriptures tonight that I want to read. My heart is burdened. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I need your prayers. A Spirit-led church is a Spirit-fed church. Leading of the Spirit enables you to receive the divine table of God. Jesus prepared a table and he said, come and dine. The table's set. You just come and eat it. But there's something in my mind and in my thoughts that tells me I don't need to humble myself and go to the table of Christ. I can do it on my own. I can figure it out on my own. And that thought has cost so many people so many blessings. Instead of just surrendering with a broken and a contrite heart unto Jehovah God and his word and his counsel with his divine Holy Spirit opening your eyes and my eyes. We've heard the scripture where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, how do I get my eyes open? How do I know they're open? How do I understand what is the right path? How do I understand the right word? Oh my God, how do I know? I'm just a human. I'm just a man. I can't figure all this out on my own. God knows you can't figure it out on your own. And that's why he made the plan of salvation twofold. We're saved, and then we come to the place after our sins are forgiven that we're able to dedicate ourselves to God. And because of our sacrifice of love, he gives us his Holy Spirit. If you're lacking in the Holy Spirit tonight, you're lacking. You're not where you could be. Oh, I have such a desire in the evening time that we remember the ground roots of this movement. Holy Ghost leadership. This is a holiness people. Our forefathers were holy. If there was a problem, they went out in the barn and prayed until the Holy Spirit revealed. And there was some revealing. I've heard stories down through the years. And it is the power that God wants to pour out upon his people. Oh, there is great power in the office of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to read a little more passage of Scripture pertaining to the condition of our world tonight. The world tonight is lost and undone. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the third verse, 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, 1st verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here's the verse I want to zero in on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What is the power? Did not Jesus tell his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high? The power for salvation in this time, in this day, is contingent upon your possession of the Holy Spirit, your personal possession. You have within your power, within your might, through the grace and the plan of God, the great plan of God, to possess the Holy Spirit in your vessel, to possess the Holy Spirit in your heart. It is the only safety that we have in this day and in this time. In my natural man, in my flesh side, I may want to do the very best job I can, but that job will be limited to my ability in the flesh. It will not go past that until I am personally endued with power from on high. Until the Holy Spirit has full reign in my life, then at that time we receive the power that is needed to overcome. We must, as the Apostle Paul said, we must die daily. Do you know dying takes power? Whether it's good people or bad people, to die out to self, I know I'm right, to die out to what I think takes a power beyond my natural capabilities. We must have the presence of the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome, to be able to be what God would have us to be, the glorious life of living in the New Jerusalem, in living in the city of God, having the privilege of, regardless of where I go or where I am, to know that the power of God rests upon me, that God in His power is with me wherever I might be. You see, people sometimes want to make things up in their own mind, their own strength, their own ideas. But there is no substitute for the evidence of the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute for the glory of the Lord. When God comes down and He anoints with His Spirit, when there is anointing that comes from Jehovah God, the Creator of all things, the beginning and the end of all things, He that sits on the pinnacle of the circle of the world, He that knows every thought and every idea. There is anything in this world that God does not know and understand. He is the God of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And true wisdom is what we need. And the only way we can get true wisdom is to have the Holy Spirit reveal it unto us. As we look upon our life and as we face the events that we face, we're emotional beings. We have a lot of emotion sometimes and in a lot of different ways. But it is only through the office of the Holy Spirit that we can keep our emotions where they ought to be in worshiping God. And the worship of God. And having a understanding and a wisdom. And the scripture said this is not wisdom from above. It's devilish. You're fighting amongst yourselves. You're doing this. You're doing that. The wisdom from God is first peaceable. It's kind. It's understanding. It's loving. What wisdom do I have tonight? Where do you get your wisdom? Where do you get your understanding? Are you sure that you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? There's a challenge in this day. There's a challenge in this time. There's a challenge against the office of being Spirit-led. We need to have a consciousness that our hope relies. Our hope is in the leading of the Holy Spirit, whether it's in our services, whether it's in your personal devotions, whether it's in your job, wherever you go, whatever you do, God wants you to be sure, and God wants you to understand, and God wants you to know. He has wisdom for us. Where does that wisdom come from? Does it come from my knowledge? We've always told and understood that we don't have seminars. We don't have those things that a lot of Babylonian places have. But we do have one thing, and that is we have the Holy Spirit to reveal and to teach and to show and to help us understand. Oh, our understanding, our wisdom. Lord, give me a greater understanding. Give me a greater wisdom. It is hid from the wise and the prudent. It is revealed unto the babes, to those that will humble themselves before God as a child. And they will acknowledge, God, I don't know. I don't understand anything if you don't impart it to me. Well, I can figure it out on my own, and I can come up with some pretty good ideas. And I can make some pretty good understandings. But divine wisdom, the divine wisdom of Jehovah God, that's only brought to us as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Lord, we need your Spirit, and we need the Spirit of the Lord today more than we ever have. Because we are tried on every hand. There are so many evil spirits in the world. We see it in the news. We see it in our society. We see it all around us. And what makes people do what they do? Why does a man take another man's life? Why does a man go into a school and shoot children? Why do they do the evil things that they do? Why did this man take a gun and go into church and start killing people? Churches. Why? Because he lacked the leadership of the right spirit. There are spirits in the world, and they influence people to do evil, dark, dirty deeds. That's the devil's business. And they are loosed in the world. Jesus encountered them with legion. And there were so many demons in legion that the people couldn't even get close to him until Jesus came and he cast those demons out. Lord, we don't want to have anything to do with any evil or any false doctrine or teacher or spirit. We don't want that. No, we have the privilege in Zion. Jesus died for our sins, that we could be cleansed to the point that we could call upon God and he would give us the Holy Spirit. Whoever you are, wherever you are, that's the promise of God. If you let Jesus cleanse your heart, if you let Jesus wash away your sins, then you are ready for the blessing of the Lord, that I will send my Spirit and I will put my Spirit in your heart and I will make you what you ought to be. That Spirit will comfort you. That Spirit will guide you. That Spirit will direct you. You're all familiar with the scriptures that I'm leaning from. You know what the Bible teaches us, that Jesus promised that he would send the Comforter. I'm leaving. I'm going away. I've taken care of you as my disciples. I have blessed you. Sometimes you made foolish mistakes. Sometimes you did foolish things. But you know what? I have to leave. If I don't leave, you're not going to be good enough to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're too dirty, you're too vile, you're too carnal in yourself. I must go and pay the price for your carnality. I must pay the price for your humanity, for the way that you behave. But after I pay that price, and after you take advantage of that blood, then I am going to provide for you another Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come to you, and he is going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to teach you. Yes, Lord, I need to be taught. You remember when Jesus' disciples were angry with the next town because they rejected Christ? It was an awful thing. Jesus was a healer. He was a helper. He'd done many mighty good works. And yet this town they were about to enter into rejected him. And the disciples, in their own thinking, in their own minds, said, okay, let's call some fire down from heaven and just get rid of them. That's what they're worth. They're rejecting Christ. And what did Jesus say? He said, you're not thinking right? No. He said, you don't realize what spirit you're of. The spirits give you your thoughts. The spirits bring your attitudes and your ambitions and present them to you. And as Jesus instructed them, he said, no, you're not going to destroy them. I love them. My way is to go to them and help them. They need help. That's the love of God. And that's what's in the office of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit can teach us to love the unlovable. It can teach us to be kind to those that don't deserve kindness. He can guide us and direct us into righteous living. Living righteous. What is righteousness? Righteousness is to obey Jesus Christ and his law, and to obey those things that he teaches. If you love me, keep my commandments. And as you keep my commandments, oh, there is such a blessing and a great protection in keeping the commandments of Christ. All right, I want to read some of my verses now. Turn with me to Isaiah, 40th chapter. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, 41. You know, there's so many good scriptures in Isaiah that you can't go wrong opening that book and reading it. It is just full. It is full of the glory of God. Beginning at verse 10, he said, "Fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." My righteousness. "Behold, all that they were incensed against shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee, shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help you, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, and I will help thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." 17th verse, and this is the verse that stands out in my little message tonight, because we're living in perilous times. We're living in a time when there is a very, very big drought of the righteousness of God in people's lives, in their thoughts, in their processes. In the 17th verse, "When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." Now we're living in a time when it's so dark, and it's a parched land. It's a land that is not producing anything that is of goodness for God. But even though we live in this time, even though the reports are full of evil, this is a time when God has given special instruction and special blessing that we can shine as a city that is set on a hill. We can be a little lamp wherever we are, and the devil cannot touch us. That wicked one toucheth him not. He is surrounded by the presence of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has the power to rebuke and resist him. As you call upon his name, "Lord, help me. Help me. Deliver me from this place. Deliver me from these people. Deliver me from this situation and that situation." It is the power of God. Folks, we can't do anything in our own. We couldn't be a Christian. You're human. You're flesh. You can't live saved. Probably not even a day. But with the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's been countless people that have lived a holy life, and the Holy Spirit manifested itself in their life, and there was a glory to God in their life. But listen, God's not done. It's not over till it's over. When it's over, then he's coming back. So while we're here, and though we face perilous times, and we face dark times, don't be discouraged. Get a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Get a good dose. Let go of yourself and let go of your own ways and your own will and your own ideas. They're not really right. You just think they are. You want to find out what's really right? Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Submit yourself to the Holy Ghost. And you'll find out what's really right. Because that's his office. That's why God created him. That's why God gives him. Now I have some scriptures to back this up, okay? In this same chapter, when the poor and needy need water, and there is none, and the tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord God, will hear them. And I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set it in the desert, the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together. So what this is saying, it doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference what kind of tree you are. If God, if you submit to the plan of God, and you let God fill you with the Holy Spirit, you will be that tree of righteousness in 2015, when the world is so dark and things are so bad. You can be a righteous tree, and God has provided the Holy Spirit to guide you. God has provided the Holy Spirit to help you. These are perilous times. These are bad times. When I was a child and was on these benches, the world had some morality. The people had some good things in their life. Well, because I want to say this now, and I want you to get a hold of it, because I believe it's Bible truth. It wasn't rank sinners that ruined this country. It was those who didn't watch and pray. It condoned just a little thing here and a little thing there, and that seed began to grow. And that's why we have the mess of sin we have today. It wasn't just a gross rebellion. No, it was that people did not find the Holy Spirit to guide their lives. And they began to make their own choices about what was righteous and what wasn't righteous, and what God would accept and what God wouldn't accept. And because of that, they've gone so far away that you have churches that do all kinds of things now that they never would have thought of or wouldn't have allowed in my day. And the product of not keeping a vigil watch on their heart, on their life, using the tools which Jesus died for. He died to give us the blessed Holy Spirit. He died to cleanse us from our sins, that we could be in a place that we were clean enough. Oh, you can't get that clean in yourself. I don't care how hard you try. I don't want to say that. That's kind of a bad statement. I do care how hard you try. I want you to be clean where the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost, because that's our privilege. And as we read these scriptures, it says that they may see and know and consider. Would you think and consider tonight and understand? Get some wisdom from above. You know, the wisdom from above far exceeds all of the wisdom of this world. And that wisdom tonight tells us that God created. It says that you may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. It wasn't man. It wasn't people. It wasn't their ideas. It wasn't their understanding or their righteous way in their own mind. No, this was God. And God Jehovah created this place. God Jehovah created this happening. The Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. He created a way that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that comes out of heaven makes no mistakes. We make mistakes, and we have to say, I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, Jesus, would you please? Do you all know the scripture that says, grieve not the Spirit? There's a duty. As the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we want to be on pins and needles to listen to what he's saying, and not to grieve him in any way, but to realize and understand that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when He puts His finger on maybe the way that we spoke or the thing that we've done to our neighbor or the way that we're behaving, and He gives us a little tap in our heart. I've been there. I've had the Holy Spirit tell me that you have to go back into that parts house and apologize for how you talked to those boys. That you didn't talk like a Christian. And the Holy Spirit, I have my training, I have my ideas. But when the still small voice of the Lord speaks, you better run. And what a joy. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be able to have the Holy Spirit to help us to correct the things that we might make mistakes on. Well, we're not perfect in ourselves. We're perfect through God. We're perfect through this Spirit. We're perfect because we've humbled our heart and said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I'm going to do it." And by your help and by your grace. Oh, we can't do it on our own. And that's why it is such a blessing to know and to understand what the Holy Spirit's office is in my personal life. I have a life. I'm a person. I'm a spirit. And I have the privilege to be anointed in my heart, in my words, in my deeds. The anointing of the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus died for. That was the plan of salvation. I'm not just going to save you so I can rule over you. I'm going to give you all the tools. I'm going to give you everything you need to have a victorious life. Why? Because that's living in Zion. That's living in a place that is happy. That's living in a place that is peaceful. That's living in a place that is restful. You can lay your head on your pillow and go to sleep, and your conscience is not going to bug you and bother you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has talked to me. And those things that I needed to make right, He helped me do it. He gave me the strength to go and to do and to say what He would have me to do and to say. Folks, you cannot do this. You cannot live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just not possible. It's not possible for us to have an assembly together and have the bottom of heaven fall out without the presence of the Holy Spirit. If there's a lack in your heart, if there's a lack in your life, if there's something that is hindering the Holy Ghost from having full reign in your life, get it fixed tonight. Get it taken care of. The Holy Spirit is your friend. He's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to draw back from. No, He's your friend. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Tonight He wants you to draw closer to Him. He wants you to hear His voice, because in His voice is your salvation. In His voice is your victory. In His voice is everything good that God has. God has nothing but goodness for you. The devil robs and steals, and the devil leads away. But oh, the Holy Spirit, He leads us closer to God, closer to Zion, closer to heaven. Oh, heaven bound, praise God. How am I going to get there? I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost. That's how I'm going to get there. The Holy Spirit will guide me and direct me and teach me. And you know what? Sometimes my brother will have some counsel for me. And the Holy Spirit will tell me, "You need to stop and listen." Yeah, you think you're something. You think you got it all figured out. You better stop and listen. Did you know the Holy Spirit will do that to you with your wife? Oh, wait a minute. I'm the man, and the Bible teaches me that I'm the head of the house. Well, you may be the head of the house, but if you're doing something contrary to the love of God, the Holy Spirit may use your wife to talk to you, and vice versa. Oh, it's such a joy when we have the presence of the guidance of the Holy Ghost. That's why it is so vitally important that we don't quench the Spirit. In our personal assemblies, in our personal lives, at work, at play, wherever we are, remember, without the Spirit, you are nothing. Without the Spirit, you can do nothing. Without the Spirit, you're going to fall on your own face. Now, I've been around for a lot of years, I guess 50 years or so, that I was of the age of accountability. And I have seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of people with a lot of, right in even this tabernacle, big testimonies. Pretty soon their fire went out. Pretty soon they're somewhere else. It need not be. It need not be. We have seen it, but it need not be. God wants us to have His Spirit guiding us and directing us every step of the way, in everything that we do. Oh, when we have the presence of Jehovah God, that He's willing come down to this old flesh, this old carnal man that makes mistakes and that thinks he's right sometimes when he's wrong. And God, with all of His knowledge, with all of His wisdom, who He is, God the Creator, knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows exactly where you are tonight in your submission to the guiding Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And we can't make it without Him, folks. You can make all the efforts you want. You can do all the things you want to do. But I am positive that God give me this burden. I did not come on my own. I did not want to say it on my own. No, but I'll tell you what. I have no fear. I have no fear when I follow the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just asking you to examine yourself. Do you possess the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit guide you? Does the Holy Spirit direct you? You talk to Him. You know, we have this privilege. It is God-given privilege to have a one-on-one with God through the Holy Spirit. A broken and a contrite spirit, He said, I will never despise. In the 32nd Psalm, there is one of our favorite verses. I'm going to read it tonight. 32 and verse 8. No, that's not it. Until the Spirit, verse 15. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, and all around the house of joy in the joyous city. Because the place shall be forsaken, the multitude of cities shall be left, and the forts and the towers be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and pastures of flocks. Where was this? It was a place of God's blessing at one time. But because they didn't listen to Jehovah God and come up with their own ideas, and their own ideas come up thorns and briars, Come up things that stuck people and hurt people. Come up things that couldn't be eaten. And then the 15th verse says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Oh, the transformation of a life, of your life. If there has been briars and weeds, there is through the power of salvation and the office of the Holy Spirit that we can have a fruitful, righteous life. We can bear righteous fruit. You can bear righteous fruit. Well, I inherited this the way I am from Uncle John. It's part of my natural makeup. Whatever it is, it don't matter to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows how to take care of it. He knows how to teach you how to take care of it. He knows how to guide you and how to handle it. I have a temper. Oh, well, a lot of people have tempers. But the Holy Spirit knows how to guide you that you can have a soft answer that turns away wrath. That's why God created this place. Folks, we can't live here. We can't dwell on Mount Zion without the help and without the benefit of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit, what does He do? You know, we have scripture after scripture. If you don't mind, I'm not going to take time to read all my scriptures, okay? If I'm wrong, you brethren, correct me. But we have scripture after scripture that in the Old Testament, and even up in some of the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon people. And then there come the day when Jesus was born and came into the world. I want to read the prophecy of the coming of Christ because it has such a profound truth of what you have today. What is available to you today? Because in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, there was a prophecy given. The Spirit, who? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And you know and I know that was the prophecy of Christ coming. And if we look into the coming of Christ and when He was here and when He was blessed of God, what happened? This very prophecy of who He was and what He was going to do. Jesus was led of the Spirit, pay attention to that, out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then because He didn't yield, that same Spirit ministered unto Him and comforted Him and blessed Him. In the 14th verse It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out fame of him through all the region and about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he come to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's been prophesied. It's full. It's done. I am come, and I have come for this reason, and I am going to do this. I am going to proclaim God Jehovah and his righteousness, and I am going to deliver. I am a deliverer. I am a saver. And this is fulfilled. This was a prophecy of the mighty word of God. What does Isaiah say about the word of God? It said it went out of his mouth and it would not return to him void. But it would accomplish what he sent it to do. And it was by the power of his voice and what he said that things in this world were created and that things in this world were made. And it is by the voice of God that you are here tonight. It is the voice of God that created you with the DNA that you have. When you were mixed in the womb, I just glory in the fact that David said, he remembered me and he created me in the womb. He gave a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of this personality, a little bit of all for one reason and one purpose, and that was to make me who I am, that I might be a vessel to honor unto God, that I might have something to bring to God that somebody else, the twins can't even be exactly alike. My wife has twin brothers, and they have a lot of similarities, but they also have some very stark differences. And God knows just what he wants as far as the glory that is going to be revealed and the glory that is going to last in eternity. We're just here for one reason, and that's to glorify God in eternity. And the great place beyond this world, beyond all these cares, beyond all these natural things, they have a purpose and a reason in the plan of Jehovah God. And that is that we will be trees of righteousness in eternity forever, bringing glory to God, bringing that special little anointing. Have you ever experienced the glory of the Lord personally? Have you been going in your car and a song comes on and you can't contain it? Pretty soon you're screaming. The people around you think you're crazy. And those kind of things. Or go in your closet. Get alone with the Lord and the Lord meets you in there. And he begins to bring his glory into your little room and begins to fill your soul. Eternity is filled with that glory. Why? Because God is God. And this is what God has purposed. And this is what God has given. And there is not going to be any place for any man to stand in his own wisdom. Ain't going to work. He's hidden from the wise and the prudent. But those that will humble themselves before God and hear his voice. Oh, Jesus prophesied that I have filled this prophecy. I am here now. And this is what I'm going to do. I am going to die for sin. I'm going to deliver all the people that are bound, all the people that have done such horrible sin, been so defiled and dirty, they're not fit to even exist. I'm gonna pay the price. I'm gonna take my flesh. I'm gonna take my body. This is the proclamation. I have been anointed by the Spirit. I have been anointed by God my Father to condescend to this world and to pay the price for sin. And God knows what that is. The Father loves you enough that He is willing to give me His Son that I might die for you, that you might be forgiven to the place that God can inhabit you again, that God can be in you again. We know what the Scripture teaches us. And Jesus told us, and I have scriptures here, I won't take time to read them all, but there was a purpose, there was a reason. And Jesus told him when he went to the cross, he said, listen, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to leave you, but you know what? I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you alone. I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. I'm going to go. And that's where I'm going. But it is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then, as you are cleansed and you are willing and ready, I am going to come, and the Father is coming with me. And we're going to take up our residency in your heart. You see why it's so important to keep the heart with all diligence? That is the place where the holy presence of Jesus and God dwell within us. It's not in buildings made with hands. It's not in something that we've concocted, but it's the gift of God. It is the gift of God Himself that He wants you to be able to have in your body, in your very self, the presence of Jehovah God, the presence of Jesus Christ. I go away, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, I will be in you. Me and the Father and the Holy Spirit, we will dwell in you. We're going to take up residency in your heart. Keep your heart humble before God. Don't let anything you think up here elevate you to the place that you think that you can quench the Spirit of the Lord. I have so much knowledge. I know, I can figure that out, Lord. No, a broken and a contrite heart is where the Holy Spirit is able to deal and able to work and able to help each one of us. It is only as we submit ourselves to this plan that we have this confidence that when I go to the supermarket, I don't go alone. When I go to class, I don't go alone. When I come to the assembly of the saints, I don't go alone. I come here with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I didn't manufacture it. It's not because I'm so good. It's not because I do so good. It's because God made this plan infallible. He made it so beautiful. It is described in so many different ways in the Word of God as the beautiful garden, as the beautiful city. I remember sitting right over there, I don't know how many years ago now, but Uncle Austin O.B. Wilson brought us all a sermon on the city of God and how everything you want is already supplied in the city. There isn't anything that could be added. You couldn't add anything to the city of God. God has made provision, and God knows, and God understands, and God wants you, and He wants me to enjoy and be blessed in our existence in the city of God. We're not here just grudgingly going around with our head hung down. No, we're happy, and we're filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the flesh side of us, he kind of wars against it, doesn't he? And that's why the apostle said that you got to die. You got to die. Just as Jesus died, just as he was resurrected, so it is in your heart and in my heart. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been renewed. There's now someone living here. There's now someone dwelling with me. And he gives me comfort. He gives me sweetness. The trials come. Yes, there's many. But how many times have you heard the testimony when I was alone in the middle of the night and things were black and fear was in every corner and the night was long, and I begin to pray. I begin to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord was my comfort. And the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up. And the Spirit of the Lord encouraged me. There isn't any other way to go through life that is going to be worth living than to live with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Spirit Holy, in me dwelling. It's not of me. When the apostles did so many great things and the people began to lift them up and they said, no, don't do that. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. It is the Holy Spirit. And the works that you see coming out of my life, the good things that you see, the fruits that I bear, it's not me. Don't lift me up. Don't put my name out as good. No. You just understand that any good thing that I can do, that I can overcome myself, my flesh, is because the Holy Spirit is living within. And it is through that inspiration where we have the anointing that is beyond any speech that has ever been made in the history of mankind. There's been some great speeches made. Winston Churchill made one. There's others in the history books that have made great swelling speeches, and they impressed men, they impressed situations, and they generated emotions. But I'm going to tell you what. I've been around the church since I was a little boy. There's nothing better than an anointed message. There's no greater joy in life than to come to service and the songs are anointed and the minister is anointed. There's no greater way to live. Children, saints, brothers and sisters, if there's a lack in our spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit, search your own heart. Search yourself. Oh, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. So we have this heritage. We have this as our lineage that has been handed down to us my mother, my brother, and others, my pastor when I was a child, and those saints that used to gather around and pray. Brother Chuck come home from Monarch with typhoid fever, lay on death's bed, and the saints came and they prayed an anointed prayer. I remember Brother Isaac Chandler. We were under quarantine, so he couldn't go inside. So he sat out on the front porch and poured out a prayer, praise God. He couldn't get in the bedroom where my brother was laying in his sickness. But God heard the prayers of his children, and he sent the victory, and he raised him up, and he lived long enough to go be a pastor, ended up in Guthrie. God richly took care of him. There is a definite call that we be sure that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit going with us and helping us and guiding us and direct us. And don't rely upon your own way. I'm right. I know I'm right. Don't rely upon your own thoughts. Linger. Jesus said, go into the closet and shut the door. And what you pray in secret, I will reward you openly. There's nothing better than the reward of the Lord when we know that we had nothing to do with it except that we made an intercessing prayer and that we asked God. I will testify to you tonight, all right? Let me get a little personal. There are many needs that have arose in my life since, especially since I got saved, physically and temporally and family members and all those things we all encounter. I can tell you that without a doubt, God has heard and answered my closet prayer many times, not because of who I am, but because that's his plan, because that's why he gave the Holy Spirit to help me to pray an acceptable prayer in his sight. I wouldn't know what to say in myself. I might think I did, but I'm not able because I am just a man. But through the power of the Spirit. You see, being a man, we can't accomplish anything. We can try. A lot of people have tried. A lot of people have impressed a lot of people. And that's why you have 100 churches in every town and every corner, because people accept that. Don't sell it short, brothers and sisters. Don't sell it for nothing less than Holy Ghost leadership. Don't settle for nothing less than the Holy Spirit blessing our assembly, blessing our personal lives, our personal prayers, our personal affairs. I want to stress to you that it's paid for. How could you buy it? Well, I could do this and I can do that and I can make this sacrifice. I'm going to tell you what. The sacrifice has been made and the price has been paid. And the Holy Spirit is ours. It's yours if you surrender. If you submit yourself to God, lock, stock, and barrel. I just take my hands off, Lord. It's yours. I'll die tomorrow. I'll go here. I'll go whatever you say. And just submit your life in its entirety upon the altar of God. And then, he said, the power would come down. Tarry in Jerusalem. Tarrying sometimes takes a little while. And sometimes we have to tarry even to get an answer for today's problem. Yes, we get sanctified, and the Holy Spirit is with us. But there are times in our growth, there are times in our experience when God wants to clean us of all chaff. I remember, I think I still have it in my tapes at home, Sister Opal Wilson. She preached a message one time about chaff. And I remember this so vividly, that in the beginning of her message, now this is Holy Ghost boldness, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness, and the Holy Spirit gives us authority. In the beginning of her message, she said, "Well, you're here. You come to service this morning, and I'm going to tell you right up front, you won't be the same when you go home. You just won't be the same. Because I am going to preach the Word of God and His truth, and you'll have to do something with it. You'll either accept it or reject it, but you won't be the same when you leave this assembly." And we can have that confidence to know that. And I remember in that little sermon, if I might just quote some of the older ministers who were endued with power from on high. And dear Sister Opal gave her life on the mission field. But as she talked about removing the chaff. Chaff is the part of wheat that doesn't amount to anything. And it's the part that needs to be separated from the grain for the grain to be worth what it's really worth. And as the Word teaches us that God is the one who makes the grain out of us that is of utmost value and utmost purity, and that removes the chaff out of our life. And sometimes He has to toss us up in the air and let the wind blow it away. What did Jesus say? Did not Jesus say that the Spirit is like the wind? You can't see it, but you see the wheat move. You see the leaves blow. You know, sometimes we can't see the way that we are led of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost leads us into a path, into situations, into things that God has designed for the purpose and the reason of removing chaff, self-importance, selfish ideas, selfish knowledge, making myself somebody. Oh, folks, we are nothing. We are just human servants of God. There isn't one servant above another servant. The Word teaches us that. We're all following Jesus. And Jesus is our leader. And Jesus is our Lord. And Jesus is our Savior. And we follow Him together. As we follow Him, He is able to perfect us. He is able to make our wheat what it ought to be. And He does that through the office of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. You know, I've heard people say that they wouldn't do this or they wouldn't do that. But it was the Holy Spirit, and I read you the verse, that led Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit led Him. The same Spirit that led Him everywhere else led Him into the wilderness that He might be proven, that He might pass the test of God and conquer His flesh and be able to offer them a sacrifice that has purity But it was the Spirit that led Jesus out where the devil was, out where the temptations were, out where Satan could get at him. And it was by the power of God that he was able to resist the devil. And the scriptures tell us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We have this confidence, and always maintain that confidence that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Do you remember the verse, all things work together for the good? Do you believe it? Of course you believe it. It is God's plan that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are following the Holy Spirit, that everything that comes is for our good. And everything is for making us more and more like the Spirit of Christ, and more like he would have us to be. I want to encourage you tonight. If there's anyone here that feels like you don't feel the wooing of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to live there. You can live where you're confident and you're sure that you know that the Holy Ghost talks to you, and you know that the Holy Ghost is leading you, and you know that the Holy Ghost is guiding you. That's what Jesus paid for. He didn't pay for a murky, maybe God's going to do it. No, the Holy Spirit is precise, and he's full of knowledge. He's full of understanding. He is created for us. He is given by God for us, that we might be able to overcome in this world and be all that God would have us to be. And I just implore you tonight. I can't say it strong enough. The burden, it's been on me for a couple of years. Saints, we got to have the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Spirit of the Lord in our daily walk. In everything that we do, we need the Holy Spirit. So I pray that we will consider tonight, if you're not where you ought to be with the Holy Spirit, would you yield? Would you come? Would you talk to God? Would you talk to the Holy Spirit? He wants to talk to you. He won't reject us. A broken and a contrite spirit, he will never despise. Whether it's Sammy Morse out in the jungle of Africa, or whether it is O.B. Wilson at the feet of his father and mother, wherever it is, a broken and a contrite spirit, he said, I'll never despise. And that's where the Holy Spirit will come to us and reveal himself to us and reveal God to us. All to think that we could just get it in our minds and come up with some formula that we can draw closer to God. We know who he is, and we know how mighty he is, and we know what he wants, and have that kind of attitude. No, that's not what the word promises us. It promises us that if we will be broken and contrite, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty Spirit of God and grieve not the Spirit and draw close to him, then he will reveal the Holy Spirit unto us. There isn't a man on this world, in this world, that couldn't have the Holy Spirit if he would just follow the plan of God. What you've been taught, or where you've come from, or where you're going, it's all doesn't have any bearing. The bearing is that God created you, and he created you in his own image, and he breathed into you the breath of life in your body and your soul. And there's two of you. There's that natural body, and there's the spiritual body. And God has made provision through the office of the Holy Spirit to help guide your natural man to the spiritual world above. To guide your natural actions to the spiritual world above. That is the office of the Holy Spirit. And that is to guide us and direct us and to empower us with the power to be able to overcome. To be able to it's not easy to die. It's not easy to say no to self and my importance and my ideas and my thoughts. It's not easy. But oh the glory lingers near when the cross, when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, the glory is there. And that glory has no end. That's what I want to encourage you with tonight. And what I want you to take home from this camp meeting is that the glory never fades. The glory never dies. If you will manifest yourself to God in a way that He can glorify Himself, it's not just for a day. It's not just for a week. It's not just for a year. No, it's for eternity. Can you imagine what eternity is going to be like when it is filled with the glory of men and women who were able to overcome the natural man and please God through the Holy Spirit, and that God Himself is going to honor them and going to glorify them. Oh, you know, and it says over there where they will be my jewels in that day. When I make up my jewels, a jewel in the crown of God, it'll never burn out. It's eternal. Here we have to watch our time because we run out. But in eternity, no, we won't ever have to watch the clock again. It'll be eternity without end. The glory of the Lord surrounding us. The office of the Holy Spirit is to get each one of us there. And that's why it's so imperative that you quench not the Spirit and that you examine yourself tonight. Just examine your life, examine your deeds, examine your ways, examine your attitudes, examine your stands. I stand for this, I stand. Examine where you stand. Is it in the presence of the office of the Holy Spirit of God? Does God put His approval on what I'm thinking and what I'm doing? Oh, you know, when we get a love for the kingdom, when we get a love for what God has given, then we're able to understand what valuable asset the leading of the Holy Spirit is. Because the Holy Spirit helps me to do the things that will bring the glory of the Lord. And there isn't any better blessing in this world than to have God glorify Himself in your heart and in your life. So maybe we could sing a song. And if there's anyone here that feels like your sacrifice is not acceptable and that you need to dedicate a little deeper, I encourage you, don't be afraid. Don't hold back because of what somebody might think or what you might have to do. You don't have to do anything on your own. Once you get the Holy Spirit, He gives you the strength, He gives you the power, and He gives you the direction. Spirit holy, in me dwelling, all the joy and the understanding of knowing that I'm not in this world alone. I don't have to go this world by myself. I hear this, I hear that, the winds are blowing and things are happening, and I'm afraid. No, I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because I have in my heart the presence of Jehovah God through the office of His Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Oh, how delicate. Oh, how I ought to strive to not offend or to quench that little voice. You ever, that little voice has such a sweetness. That one song we have in our hymnal that talks about the sweet voice that is calling me over and over and over. The voice of the Holy Spirit is beckoning me to my celestial home. Over and over again, I hear that sweet. It is sweet. Folks, it can only be sweet as we are yielded. If we don't yield to God, if we don't yield to His commandments, Jesus said that if we would keep His commandments, they would not be grievous. Why are they not grievous? Because He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit that they're not grievous to me. I'll go the extra mile. I'll turn the other cheek. I'll follow. I'll give. I'll be what you want me to be. Why? Because of the power that I have through the Holy Spirit. It's not of myself, and it's not of yourself. And as I think of some of the brethren and sisters that have gone before us, even in this chapel, even in this place, and they are giants in my mind and in my heart, but they are what they were because they yielded to the Holy Spirit. All the Holy Spirit wants to make us what we ought to be in 2015. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. The little light that shines wherever you go. Wherever you are, be a light for Jesus. How am I a light for Jesus? By listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is guiding me and teaching me what I should say, where I should go, what I should do. If I hear counsel and it's something I need to move up on, the Holy Spirit will give me the power to do it. I just have to bring myself into check because I might not like it. But listen, whether I like it or not, doesn't matter. Every man's right in his own eyes. If it's thus saith the word of the Lord, we want to hear it. And the Holy Spirit is faithful. He is faithful to guide us and direct us. Don't quench Him. Just make sure you have Him. If you're not sure tonight, we're going to stand and sing a song. And if you're not sure you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about just up here or just an idea or a thought, but I'm talking about the presence of the resounding power of God in your soul. When your soul says amen to the will of God, when your heart is full-fledged to do what God wants you to do, and with the light you want to shine in this world, that's when you know that you've paid the price. The Holy Spirit comes in, and He don't come in just to saying this or that. No, He has a presence. He has a presence. And sometimes, just one more little thing, I guess. I have a tape at home of Brother Isaac Chandler. And he wanted to be sanctified. And he knew. He had all the knowledge. He'd been around the church. And so he was seeking sanctification. And he couldn't find it. And he was waiting for this big, elaborate outpouring of the Spirit of God. And finally, the Spirit got to him. Said, look. You just need to take it by faith. I'll do the rest of it. You don't have to have a big emotional feeling. I don't have to satisfy your emotions. I'll be here. I'll be with you. You just believe the word that says that the Spirit is coming to help you and to guide you and to direct you. And then it will be fulfilled. And he gained the victory right there. And if there ever was a man that manifested not to lift the man up, but to lift up the plan of God, to lift up the fullness of what I'm talking about tonight. That man had the Holy Spirit, and he had the Holy Ghost with him, and the Holy Ghost manifested itself. Brother Barty and I were talking last night how that when we have the Holy Spirit and do what He wants us to do, He will do the rest. You could just rest upon assured that you don't have to manufacture, and you can't manufacture to start with, But you just rely upon the Holy Ghost, and He'll bring the fruit in your life. He'll bring the glory. He'll bring the joy, the peace. He'll bring us a blessing that other people will see and enjoy. Just trust Him and submit to Him. Submit. Submission is the word. So let us have a song. If there's anybody here that wants to renew your consecration, feel free to do so. Don't be afraid. That's just Satan telling you to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's the most perfect plan there is. It's the most perfect way to go home from camp meeting filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, there isn't a better way for you to lay down tonight than to lay on your pillow and know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins and has cleansed your temple, and the very presence of Jehovah God has taken up residency in the office of the Holy Spirit, living in you and through you and with you. Please pray for me.